the first thing, because here we are in America, is you performed on Jay Leno the other night, yeah. And next thing you know, I get 50, you know, everybody's like, oh man, he was on Leno. So what was that like? I mean, that's a very, have you been in that kind of environment yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's TV shows are all, you know, from the inside, they're all pretty similar, really. But Cuba Gooding Jr. was on there, and he was really quite entertaining, I thought. He was just, like, mad. Like, he came on to the thing moonwalking on, and, yeah, it was pretty mad, really.
What do you think, though? I mean, so now all the people in Idaho have been introduced to the streets. I mean, you think about Leno's target audience, right?
Yeah.
And you know, average demographics. So what's it feel like to know now that kind of middle America is onto the streets? Millions of people in middle America are onto the streets.
I've not really thought about it, really, because we don't really watch the shows ourselves. We don't really know who they're being watched by. But, no, I mean, I never thought anyone in America would, or anywhere in the world would get the streets, because I just didn't think it was going to be something that anyone cared about, you know?
So why do you think, I mean, other than the fact that you're on a big record company, as I look at the record company people, and, you know, and you've made it to that next level, why do you think Leno, you know, those kind of booking agents, why do you think they want you on there? You think that it gives them instant coolness and instant hipness and stuff, or you think they're sincere about it?
Well, I think the thing with the streets, I don't think it was cool, really. It was something that people just got into and liked. I mean, the classic story at the start was like, people would say, I really like this, but it's never going to work. And I think that's kind of what's made it do so well, is because kind of everyone said they liked it, but, you know, and the fact that it was never going to work just made it more interesting.
Yeah, so what a great segue. You know, when you say never going to work, I mean, it's easy to understand why your music is revolutionary to your fellow Brits. You know, when Katie was telling me about it, she really, you know, said, you know, Dennis, here's why this is big. Here's why this is a big, big, big deal. What about us Yanks? Why are we getting it?
Well, I mean, I hear Americans say that, you know, that's them as well. And I don't really understand that, because I always thought that people were quite different, live different lives around, you know, the other side of the world. But I think, I think the more I kind of learn, the more I realize that people's lives are quite similar, really.
So you didn't really know that much about us, you know, and it's kind of like a big discovery for you.
Yeah, I mean, when I made the album, I'd never been to America. So, you know, I've been there quite a lot now.
Yeah, well, I'll ask you what you think in a little while. But so Katie gave me this question because I wouldn't understand it, but now I do. And that is, you don't describe yourself as working class or middle class, but I guess there's this British company that builds apartments like the one on the front of your album.
Yeah.
You know, so you call yourself Barrett Class. So what is it's funny because to me, I was born in New York and there are so many buildings that look exact. In fact, I saw the cover of your album and I said, okay, yeah. I know that building.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe there is a lot more to the combo punch between America and Barrett Class. But tell me about Barrett Class. What goes on in that building?
That building's actually where they broadcast the radio station.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, it's about the radio, really. But no, I mean, there's a lot of those buildings right near where I live. But I got it off. I was getting pissed with this photographer like a while ago, and he was the one that came up with that. But I just wince when I hear working class, really, because I just think it sounds really like, you know, I've had a hard life kind of thing, you know. And those lines are really blurred nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. Should Americans who are in places like that, you know, should they start calling themselves Barrett Class? Because, I mean, the whole, like you said, the whole working class thing, I've always believed that there are no stupid people in the world. There are just people that are brighter at different things. Just because somebody does construction or rides a drill or something, I mean, you know, definitive proof you can be a success in what you do. So, I mean, the application to America, tell me a little bit about that.
What do you mean?
Well, should Americans start, you know, not saying we're lower class or middle class or working class? What can we learn from the discovery you've had?
Well, I mean, I think nowadays, you know, more than ever, you can be successful. You know, I think in the kind of old days, you know, whatever class you were going to stay that class all your life, because you just simply couldn't get out of that. But now, I mean, you know, money, I think, you know, class used to mean money, but they can't really say that anymore, because there's a lot of people from certain backgrounds who end up with a lot of money, because that's possible nowadays. So all it really is now is people that, all, you know, people that have got different amounts of money. And they'll probably always be that.
Yeah, absolutely. Why do you think it's taken so long for someone to speak to the people of your country in their own language?
I mean, I think there's a lot of other people like me that came before me and will come after me. You know, there's a lot of bands that do it, but they kind of come along at different intervals. I think you know, it's when people see that can work, then it breaks open the doors for other people. But the, you know, fashions, you know, it takes a lot to go against the trend. So not a lot of people do it. And the only reason I did it was because I kind of did it for myself anyway and didn't think anyone would ever hear it. Do you know what I mean? It was kind of luck that everyone...
So you did it. You didn't do it with the intent of, okay, I'm going to break things open. You did it because you wanted to do it. You had a message you wanted to get out. And the fact that it got out is just a good thing.
Yeah, just luck, really. I mean, you know, if you'd have sat me down 3 years ago and said, I want you to make an album that's going to be really critically acclaimed and go all over the world, you know, I would have written one that sounded pretty similar to everything else that's gone around the world. And that's the point. I think that's the only thing that's got me around the world, is because I didn't do that just purely because I just decided to do something little for myself.
Isn't that the way all the great painters and, you know, all the great artists pretty much did something because it was their style? Keith Haring or whoever it is, they did it because they believed in it. Yeah. And then someone said, wait a minute, that's different. And the success happened from there. So, again, it's one of those things I didn't know about, but then I did a little reading. So I guess you were in one of my favorite countries, in Australia, and went off there and lived there for a while. And then you came back and kind of had a fresh perspective on the country that you're from. Is that what set you off to do this?
Yeah, I mean, it just calmed me down a lot. It just made me less narrow-minded. You know, I finally got out of the city that I spent most of my time in. And the first thing I realised that I needed to do was to move to London, or back to London, because that was the best place that I was going to get business done. It just calmed me down a lot and just made me realise, put things into perspective.
And that kind of gave you the energy that you needed to then put it all down on paper and then eventually on... Well, you can't say tape anymore, but on a disc.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that, you know, I was always really motivated, but I don't think I was kind of focusing in on one thing before that.
Got it. Okay, the question that everybody asks, but if I don't ask it, I'm going to be disappointing people who listen, and that is, you know, a lot of Americans are new to the lingo. So now, it's funny, because Katie, you know, and I were talking about the lingo, and I said, okay, a geezer, a bird, well, heck, I watched A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles, and he calls his uncle a geezer, and they call the women birds, but now, is it a different version thereof?
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to the next generation.
I mean, so am I a geezer?
Yeah, we're all geezers. I mean, you know, it's not like a... It's not a total... It's not a huge, like, word that everyone in England goes around saying all the time. It's just what we were saying at the time, you know. Mm-hmm.
So what's a geezer and what's a bird?
A bird is a girl and geezer's a boy. Simple as that.
Ah, you see, in the old days, a geezer was an old fart, right?
Yeah, I think it still is in America and a little bit in England, but...
Oh, so then I'm a geezer. See, Katie, I'm a geezer. Damn proud. I was worried about not being a... I was worried about that. I was really worried about that. All right. Seems that the musicians from other genres are, and way out genres, are giving you, I'm going to ask this question a different way than everybody's asked it. They're giving you the word up that they haven't given Eminem. You know, in other words, the people that are way out there and all of these different, you know, Brazilian music and all the strange, they're giving you a word up. And Eminem hasn't gotten that word up quite that wide. So what do you think about that? I mean, other than being pleased, obviously.
I mean, in the same sense, I don't think I get the, what Eminem got from the hip-hop community, you know. I just think they're just different people.
But that's good, isn't that? Isn't it great that it works that way, that there's kind of a wide enough world within the world that artists like you and Eminem are in, that it can spread that way?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know. I just care about people getting into it, whoever they are, really.
So you didn't, I mean, you said this earlier, but I want to ask it a different way. Did you set out to do something new, a different way of singing? When you were sitting there in your home and you're saying, okay, I'm going to get this out, did you really say, I'm going to get out something different?
Yeah, I mean, I knew, you know, within the area it was happening, like the garage scene. I knew it would get respect. But I never knew that it was going to work. You know, I thought I was going to be selling thousands, not hundreds of thousands.
Amazing how that... Well, that's good, though. Yeah. I mean, surprises in life, it's what it's all about. You wake up every morning and you want something different. So the thing that impresses me, and probably a lot of people, is that you get rid of the overused topics. I mean, you talk about, I'm going to play it's so funny, on my radio show tonight, I'm going to play a 1972 British group that's still around after 50 years called Chicory Tip.
Never heard of them.
Right, of course you haven't. But the song is called Cigarettes, Women, and Wine.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is from 72, and it's this power pop thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet, what do you sing about, you know? So tell me a little bit about it. Were you just tired of the noise from everybody else?
I wanted to make hip hop, and I wanted to make English hip hop, but I didn't want to have any comebacks, really. I didn't want anyone to be able to say that, you know, that wasn't my life. So I just took, you know, all the stuff that all I did really was take an American hip hop that I'd been listening to and just converted all the things they were talking into the things that I, you know, experienced. So instead of Henny and girls and cars, you know, I haven't got a girl. I didn't have a girl. I didn't have a car, and I drink beer and cheap brandy. So I just did that, really. It wasn't really anything that amazing, I don't think.
Yeah, no intent, but again, a good thing. So you've been to San Francisco before. So what do you think of the city? What do you think of the scene here? Have you gotten to experience it, or have you just done the voop, I'm passing through San Francisco?
No, I mean, San Francisco, I've been here twice now, but I doubt I'm going to see it. I didn't really see it last time. I saw the inside of a hotel and a gig, and probably won't see much more this time, but I'm coming back here on holiday in a few weeks, so...
Yeah, you know, there's actually tonight, not that you're going to do it when you get off, but there's a hip-hop film festival in the Hate. Yeah, it's all hip-hop films. Did you know about that? Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. So, do you like touring? I mean, this must be just a whole different thing than you ever planned. Do you like getting to see the world by playing music? What a good life, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tiring. It's good fun.
Next album, what are the plans? Are you going to, you recorded the first album in your bedroom. Did that, I mean, it certainly added to the feel and the honesty and the purity, and everybody's doing that. And I said to Katie, it's interesting because you're in the garage scene, but of course we also refer to garage bands.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've kind of done the whole thing there within the garage scene, which, you know, is done a bit, but next album, is the record company going to let you do it your way?
Yeah, I mean, they'll have to, because I record.
Amy from Atlantic Records has given me the, like, did you have to do that, Dennis?
No, I mean, you know, I recorded the first one myself, and I handed him the finished product. And if you do that, you know, there's nothing really anyone can say, you know. If you hand them the finished product, they can say, well, you know, can you change this bit and change that bit? But I trust my A&R man, so I probably will change things, you know, like I did this time, but they'll be my changes, you know, they won't be done by anyone else.
Excellent. What's your favorite remix so far? I've heard a bunch of them, and boy, people are just going at it. So is there stuff that you're saying, my goodness, I wish I did that?
What remixes are mine?
Yeah.
I really like the high contrast drum and bass mix of It's Too Late. Mm-hmm. That's like the newest one. But no, I mean, you know, he does his thing. It's cool.
Excellent. What are you listening to? Where are the influences? And not the past, because we've all read about the past. Yeah. But what's getting into that head of yours right now that's going to come pouring out in the next street stuff?
Garage, hip-hop. I mean, garage more than ever now, because the garage is kind of turning more and more vocally, and it's more about the MC now. So, just garage and hip-hop.
What's the strangest thing that you have in your record collection that someone like me would be blown away that after a night out of wherever you are, you come home and you listen to that no one would ever believe?
Led Zeppelin. I like Led Zeppelin.
Which song?
Oh, Dazed and Confused. Lemon. I'm big on. I like the Lemon song.
Can't go wrong with that.
I don't know what it's either on 3 or 1. I think it's 1.
Yeah. Lemon's on 1. Dazed and Confused. Come on, Atlantic. It's an Atlantic product. I've got her. I'm just having fun with her.
The compilation that they've done.
Yeah, all remastered stuff. Yeah, great stuff. All right, well, the last thing I want to do is have you just do a quick ID. Okay. And thank you.
The Menace is...
Yeah, the show is called... I go under Dennis the Menace. So it's the Menace's Attic. Basically, we go up to the attic and we kind of pick out all sorts of... really, really weird stuff, and then slap it all together, and somehow someone listens to it. I'm not sure why.
Hello, this is Mike from the Streets, and I'm up in Menace's. Hang on. Hello, this is Mike from the Streets, and I'm in the Menace's attic with Dennis the Menace on 90.3 KUSF.
Excellent. Hope that was a good interview for you. We just want to get one quick snap, Amy, with Katie in the picture. No, Katie and I and Mike, of course.
Yeah, okay.
No, Mike, we want a picture of Katie and I because we don't see each other at all.
Well,
we never do.
It makes sense, but I had that.
Wouldn't that be a pip, right? Wouldn't that be funny?
Why don't you guys do it right here?
Do it right here.
Like,
we can hang out at the bar.
Yeah.
We need a pipe is what we need.
Dave's
coming back, and we'd like to see you. We're totally psyched. Let's stick around for a few minutes of sound check.
Cool.
Thanks so much. Best of luck, man.
Come on, you're doing a great thing.
See you later.
Okay, thanks, you guys.
Thanks a lot.
No, thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good night, Amy.
Yeah, you too. I'll see you later.
Oh, you're just gonna be like you're gonna be like in heaven, Bert. You're gonna be like, oh my God, you're gonna be sending that to everybody.
Put that in the bag.